Hey, Laura, I'm going to be talking about being reconciled to God through Christ Jesus. And all men can be reconciled to God. And we're going to find out the benefits of being reconciled back to God and the power of it and the freedom that comes from it. When I was singing those worship songs, I was just in tears because everything of those songs are related to this message. So I know the Spirit of the Lord is moving. Many people ask me when I go to prison, do the men really change? And, you know, does the gospel really change your life? And then I would say to them, if you were in a dark room and the light, and you turn on the light, how fast will the darkness go? Everybody in this world understands it. Even those guys, they understand it. You turn on that light and that darkness goes fast, immediately, you know. And this is who God is. You know, when we who have an evil heart or somebody that still is bound in darkness and they have an evil heart and they hear that, and I say to them, when God comes into your heart, how fast will that evil leave your heart? Immediately. This is the God I'm presenting. This is the God who is so powerful and so mighty, and he sets people free. He makes them into a new creation. And we're going to talk about how do we get reconciled back to God. We're going to talk about the road. And before we can even talk about that road, we have to understand why it is good news. You know, because the road that we have to take is a real hard road. But that's why the knowledge of the good news has to be so powerful that we will endure, we will persevere, we will continue, we will continue to follow Jesus no matter what comes our way. And last week I was playing the game Risk with Tim Jr. and Jeff and my son. And it's if you've never played Risk, it's about a game that you have to take over the whole entire world. And then Jeff said to me, he said, I want you to make an analogy of this. Can you make an analogy of this in your message? And, well, you know, but the Lord did give me an analogy. You know, he gave me a picture to share with you. And we're going to go to Psalm 97. But before we go to Psalm 97, I want to give you the backdrop of what happened, what has already happened. You know, it's about two kingdoms, the kingdom of light and the kingdom of darkness. And the kingdom of darkness surrounded the kingdom of God, you know. And what happened was God destroyed that kingdom. God destroyed the principalities and powers of darkness through his son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. He destroyed all their works, every bit of their works. Now here, you know, this is why it's good news. All of us were part of that kingdom of darkness. So all the principalities and powers of darkness are already judged. God has already sentenced them. But he comes to us because we are part of that kingdom of darkness and says to us, I don't want to punish you with my judgment. I want to save you. I want to give you mercy. I want to deliver you out of that kingdom of darkness and translate you into my kingdom of my son, Jesus Christ. And so this is what makes God so great. You know, but God is not a normal king. He's not an earthly king. He's a king, a godly king. So he would come to us and say, I will have you back, but I'm going to do something to you, but you need to trust me. You need to trust me. I'm going to ask you that you will die. You will die, but before you die, I'm going to tell you, I'm going to raise you up. I'm going to raise you up, I'm going to put my light in you, and I'm going to make you into a new person. What you were, the stains and what you represented out of the kingdom of darkness, you know, I don't like that. I'm going to take that all away. I'm going to make you into a new person because you're going to now belong to my kingdom. I mean, if you ever played chess and you were at checkmate, you know, what are you going to do? You know, there's only one thing you can do is but surrender, you know, to his terms. His terms. He doesn't want to destroy us by his judgments, like he did with the principalities and powers of darkness. He wants to save us. He wants to give us mercy. He wants to bring us back. So let's go into Psalm 97. The Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice. Let the multitudes of the isles be glad. Clouds and darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. This is the battle that I just talked about. But look what happens. A fire goes before him and burns up his enemies round about. His lightning lights the world. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heaven declares his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. We just mentioned his glory. This is a special king. This is a king that wants to give us mercy. You know, he doesn't want to destroy us. He wants to save us. You know, so he's saying, I do not want to judge you. I want to deliver you from my judgment. And I can do that. Let all be put to shame who serve carved images, who boast of idols, worship him, all you gods. Zion hears and is glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoice because of your judgments, O Lord. I rejoice at his judgments because of his judgment, he decided to give me mercy. He decided to give you mercy. He didn't give our enemies the mercy, but he gave, because we were bound by that enemy. They deserve their judgments, but God gives us mercy. He wants to deliver us. He wants to make us a new person. For you, Lord, are most high above all the earth. You are exalted far above all gods. You who love the Lord hate evil. He preserves the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked. We're going to be talking about how does he deliver us out of the hand of the wicked. Light is sown for righteousness. When God sows something, we talk about tithing and all that, but when God sows something, when he sows his light into our hearts, you can't help but change. Because what we were bound with is gone. You know, you become a new person because you're no longer bound. Because God moved in, guess who moved out? Remember the light switch? Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his name. I like to always like to use a lot of scriptures in my message. When I go to prison, I have a whole list. Those are my notes. The list of scriptures, those are my that's my notes. And I'll tell you why. You know, you ever made a puzzle together? 1,000-piece puzzle and you got one little piece. How much information is in that one little piece? Although that piece is so important, you know, it's needed to reveal the whole picture. But you don't get much information from or want much understanding from that one piece. It's the same with God's Word. We need to study God's Word. We need to seek God's Word. We need to understand God's Word to get the big picture. Right? So this is why I use lots of scripture. And these words are not carnal, but powerful, mighty, to pull down strongholds of the enemy that exalts themselves against the knowledge of God. God wants us to understand who he is. You know, he does not want us to be deceived by the enemy and miss the grace and miss the opportunity and miss the way. We need his word. We need the big picture. Okay. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 18 to 21, "Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you, on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." We cannot be the righteousness of God apart from him. You know, if God is not in us, guess what still remains in us? Right? So this is why we need to be reconciled with God. When God's light moves in, we can be what God says we can be. Right? We need God. We cannot go through life without God in our hearts. Remember that God said he was in Jesus Christ. You know, so if God wants us to be reconciled back to us, he had to have a vessel. And he sent his son Jesus Christ, because inside that vessel was him. God was in Jesus Christ. And he said, and Jesus was obedient to the Father. He spoke every word that God told him to speak. Because those words that he gave Jesus to speak was to lead us back to being reconciled back to him. We need to be back reconciled back to him. But we don't know the way. So we have to put our trust in someone. And what better person to put our trust in is but through his son, Jesus Christ, who he sent. Because God himself said, I'm in him. And then Jesus himself even confirmed that when he spoke in John chapter 12, verse 44 to 50. "Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me." There it is. God said he was in his son to reconcile us back to himself. Jesus just confirmed what God just said there. God said, and so Jesus is saying, God is in me. You got to listen to me. Everything that I say is God talking through me to you to get you back to himself. "And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness." See, there it is. He does not want us to abide in darkness. And he knows the only way that we can get set free from darkness is that we have to be back, joined back with him. Because darkness does not leave in and of himself if God does not come in. Remember, we need the light to turn on to get rid of the darkness. We need God to come into our hearts to be saved and set free. We sang about the freedom. We sang about the place to find that freedom. Where do we find that freedom? The freedom is in Christ. Through Christ, back to the Father. "And if anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me does not receive my words, has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." God is very clear about his judgments. He doesn't hide any of his judgments. You know, he tells us, but he does not want us to be judged by that word. He wants to save us from those judgments. He loves us. He's a God of love. So if we reject Jesus Christ, if we reject what he's saying, we're rejecting God's way of how we can get reconciled back to him. We're rejecting his salvation. We're rejecting that light that can come back into our hearts and drive out the darkness. This is why we need God. This is why we need God to live in us and dwell in us and to set us free. Because in and of ourselves, we cannot, you know, even if we wanted to do good, we couldn't do good because of the evil that's in our hearts. But we need something greater than that evil that's in our hearts to come into our hearts to drive it out. And who else but God himself? It's because of God's identity that we can be saved. Not only can we be saved, but he also keeps on doing what he set out to do, to destroy the works of darkness. Destroy the works of darkness even in us. To set us free. That we could be new and children of God. Children with light. For I have spoken not on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commands is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father told me, so I speak. So, now we know who we have to follow. We know, you know, we have to follow Jesus, because within Jesus is God himself, God speaking his word through his Son, Jesus Christ. God is speaking through his Son and telling us the way, the direction to be, how to be reconciled back to him. You just can't go to God just your own way. You have to go his way. You know, and this is why he loves us so much. You know, he loves us so much. He said, you have to listen to my Son. You have to listen to my Son, because within him is the words to get you back to me. There is no other way to get back to me but through my Son, Jesus Christ. But Jesus answered them, saying, this is in John 12, verse 23 to 26. But Jesus answered them, saying, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Most assuredly I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain. He who loves his life will lose it, and he who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servants will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. So now we establish why we need to follow Jesus Christ. So let's start following him. Let's go to the places where Jesus will lead us. The first place the Lord told me about, one of the places that he would lead us first to, is the Garden of Gethsemane. It's strange how, you know, the disciples are following Jesus. He also asked us to follow the same road. So what happened in the Garden of Gethsemane? And before that, another reason we need to follow him, it says Jesus, in John 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. It's interesting, eh? He wants us to go back to the Father, right? So he's saying, he's confirming, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why is he the way? Because God's in him. Garden of Gethsemane. What happened at the Garden of Gethsemane? Jesus asked his disciples to pray and to watch. There's a reason why he asked us to pray and to watch. He does not want us to take our salvation lightly. He does not want us to be carefree. You know, he wants us to put our attention to his words. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to know him. He wants us to know him so that we would know his will for us. He wants us to know his will so we would know what direction to go. And he also said, don't sleep. You know, and Jesus said to his disciples, if you sleep, you will enter into temptation. So if you're not watching, you're not taking God's grace seriously, and you're just letting the world go by, la 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 la, you know, and you don't take it serious, what happens is the enemy takes advantage of that. And what happens is you're not going to know God's ways, you're not going to know God's will, and you have entered into temptation. The evil one will lure you away from what the direction God wants you to go. So we need to, in the Garden of Gethsemane, we all have to go to that Garden of Gethsemane. We all have to take our salvation seriously. Because this is, you know, we are here. We are here, and God, we have a God that really loves us. He wants us to get saved. He wants us to be reunited with us. We know why now, because we need that light to come into our hearts. Because it's only the light of God that can change us. It's the only the light of God that can destroy the enemy out of our hearts. We know that from a simple illustration. When you turn the light on, the darkness goes immediately. We need to have God living in us. You know, that's why we pray, Lord Jesus, come into my heart so that I may be saved. You know, but we need to keep his word. We need to keep his word, because those words are the directions of what we need to go to. The next place that we will, the Lord will lead us, is a real hard road. A hard road, because if you look at Jesus, when he left, he determined and to go God's, do God's will. And from there, he went to a trial. From there, he went to a road to the cross. We all know how hard that road was. And Jesus said, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and tribulations and all that kind of stuff. You know, why is it hard? Now, when I was going through those hard things, you know, when we were going through that tough stuff of losing the business, and because I've made a decision I was going to follow Jesus Christ, all of a sudden, you know, you say, you know, like, where's God in all this and all that? John Edelman a couple weeks ago spoke that, you know, he told us to cross the other side. You know, and Jesus gave us a story about, a true story about that he was sleeping during a storm. Right? So it's a time where we are tested. It's a time that, are we going to stick with what God, are we going to stick to going toward the cross? Because we made a decision, we're going to go to the cross. And it's a tough time. And why would it be tough? It's not because God does it to us. It's because principalities and powers of darkness, you know, they can still use anyone out in this world that does not have the light in them. Anybody. You know, and this is why it's so tough. You know, because you look at the life of the apostles and all that. They speak about their hardships and their trials and everything else. You know, but the people that they're reaching out are the ones that are persecuting them. They're the ones, you know, they love them because they know that those people need the light of God in their hearts. But those people don't know that they need the light of the, and they're just operating according to what's living in them. So God, so the kingdom of darkness still has all these vessels, you know, that can make your life really hard. You know, and this is what the Lord has shown me when we were going through those trials and everything else. But, you know, and then you cry out, you know, and it seems like the Lord's sleeping, right? But the Lord gave us that story about him sleeping because he knew that those troubles will come. He knew that those trials will come. He knew because he knows that the enemy knows that if we keep going toward that cross, they will have to leave. They will have to leave the heart of our hearts, because they know if God moves into that person's heart, then they won't stay, because we already seen that God burns up the enemies. When God moves, he burns them up. You think the enemy wants to stay around when God's moving in? They move so fast. It says, "Resist the devil, and he will flee from you." Why is he fleeing from you? Because they know if God starts moving into that person's heart, when the Word of God moves in, when the life of God moves into the person's heart, they move out. You know, and the trials are tough because you still don't know all these things. You still don't have all these understandings, you know, so you're trying to figure out what's going on, right? But you get to go through it. Let's just go through some of the scriptures of Matthew 26, watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Luke 22, verse 40. When he came to a place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. And then James 1 verse 2 to 4. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Matthew 13, about the parable of the sower. I'm not going to read all those scriptures there, but we know that when you have the Word of God in you, the enemy wants to take that word from your heart that was sown in your heart. And it's the enemy easily takes the word away from you when you don't have understanding. That's why it's so important for us to have understanding, know what's going on. You know, when you're in that journey of faith, you know, and doing, obeying God's word and following Jesus Christ. then there's the persecution that comes. The enemy wants to shake you. You know, you're doing God's and Jesus' will. You're doing what he's asking you to do and all that. You know, and the people that are out there that don't know God, you know, they're coming at you. You know, they don't understand. But you still have to love them. You still have to reach out to them. And then if that doesn't stop you, then it's the deceitfulness of riches. You know, anything to keep your mind off the direction that God wants you to go. You know, if you get so consumed with the things of this world and all that, you know. And then for me, you know, the attack was the cares of this world. You know, when they start taking everything away from you, you know, am I going to start thinking about, you know, what am I going to do for eating? What am I going to do? If I start carrying with all these worries and concerns and don't give them over to the Lord, I won't make it. You know, so I keep my eyes on the Lord. You know, because I know, you know, even though I'm going through this suffering and everything else, I know at the end of it, there's glory. You know, and this is what, you know, I only speak this to encourage you, because when you're following that Lord, the Lord promised that you will be persecuted. He promised that the world will hate you. He promised all these things to you. He said that not to discourage you, but to make you tough, to get you through. To know that they're, you know, even though you're going through, you're going to a gospel that's good news. A gospel that's good news. You know, so you endure all these hardships because you know you're going to be joined with the Lord. You know that your heart is going to be set free in freedom, that you can be free to serve and free to do all his wills and everything else. You're going to a place because you're going to a place where that darkness is literally consumed and out of you. You know? So now let's go to the cross. Well, I just want to read a few more of these scriptures. 1 Peter 1, verse 3 to 9. Blessed be the God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now you, for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet you believe. You rejoice with joy inexpressibly and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. See, it's God who wants us, our souls, to be saved. You know, it's our souls that will decide if we're going to be obedient or disobedient. You know, it's our soul, you know, like, you know, it says some are being saved, some, you know, are saved, you know, but it doesn't matter. We're all heading toward that, you know. But we need to follow the Lord, because the Lord is going to be faithful and true to his word. He's going to lead us to our salvation, you know. And our souls, you know, has to, you know, all the things that are not true has to be destroyed. All the things that have exalted themselves above the knowledge of God has to be destroyed. All those things. And God will destroy them for us. God will do that. He knows our framework. He knows it. He knows, you know, that, you know, it's going to take all of him to even lead us to the cross even. You know, how many of us want to go and suffer? Think about it. You know, but God knows that. Right? So he has to even destroy all the enemy's works that tries to hinder us from going to the cross. You know? And that's what his word is there for. You know, you hear the teachings of the apostles, you know, how they keep encouraging the church, reminding the church, you know, reminding who not to hang around with, and reminding them, you know, because these are all things that connect to your soul, connect to you being obedient or disobedient, you know, and we want to be obedient children, not disobedient children. In Thessalonians 5, verse 2 to 11. Boy, did I read that a lot of times when I was going through that stuff. For you yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day shall not overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet of the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And in Romans 5, verse 1 to 10. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into the grace in which we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The hope of the glory of God. We have access, we have grace. It's God's grace, it's God's mercy that allows us to go to this place. You know, he could have destroyed us, but he didn't. He chose not to. He wants to save us. He wants to set us free. He wants to make us new. He wants to make us how he designed and created us to be. No. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character, and character, hope. Now, a lot of us go through hard stuff. You know, a lot of us. You know, and pastors trying to, help you through that, right? But, you know, we keep going through it. We don't give up our faith, even though we're going through the tough stuff and all that, you know, because we know at the end of it, there's glory. You know, this is our faith. It's our faith that moves us through these things. It's our faith that speaks to the mountain, even though you're in front of me, you're going to go. You know, it's our faith of this grace that God has given us. It's our faith of the good news that God has given us. It's our faith of a king that is so glorious and so merciful who wants to save us. It's our faith that keeps us going through all that stuff. Now, hope does not disappoint. I love that. Hope of salvation, but at the end of it says, hope that does not disappoint. It will not disappoint us. We just have to keep following Jesus, because we know at the end of it all, we're not going to be disappointed. God's going to stay true to his word. Because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who has given to us. Sometimes we fall. We go through hardships. We go through pestilence. We go through principalities and powers dark. It doesn't matter what, but it's the love of God that keeps us going. We keep going. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrated his own love toward us, and while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. From his wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, there's more. There's more. It says more. How much more have been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. God's life literally coming in. You know, that light turning on. You know, that darkness moving out. You know, I remember when the late Pastor Ralph talked about the sleeping giant. You know, the sleeping giant, we know what a sleeper does. Sleeper gets overcome by temptation. You know, so there's no resemblance of the nature of God in that, you know. But then God wakes them up, you know, and then they start worshiping in spirit and truth. They start following Jesus Christ. You know, and all of a sudden those hideous little creatures, they take off. Why are they taking off? Because God himself has moved in. You know, the light of the world, he sows his light to produce the righteousness, his righteousness in us. He sows light into our hearts. You know, and then those hideous, you know, anything that represents darkness, everything that represents evil, they leave. They don't stay in your heart. They don't stay in this vessel. You become a vessel of God. The cross. The Lord showed me about two criminals. There's two groups of people in this world that he showed me. One, you know, and it's the response of the criminal. One blasphemies the grace, his grace. The other one receives his grace. Now let's look at what these criminals spoke to Jesus when they were hanging next to him on the cross. Then one of the criminals, this is in Luke chapter 23, verse 39 to 43. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, "If you are the Christ, save yourself and us." But the other answered, before I go to the other, notice this guy. He wants to be saved, but he wants to go back to his old life. He doesn't want to stay on the cross. You know, God did not come to... He came to destroy darkness. He came to destroy darkness. You know, and you cannot destroy darkness when you jump off that cross. You have to stay on the cross. If, you know, if I picture a cross and I'm hanging there and I have the will that I want to do something and all that, I just can't do it because I'm stuck there, right? And I want to, and then if you can appreciate why you need to go to the cross, God wants you nailed there. He wants you immovable. He doesn't want that old nature to come out. You know, he's there to destroy that old nature, right? He's there to save us from that old nature. You know, he's here to destroy everything about the kingdom of darkness, everything. You know, and he wants to cleanse us from all the stains of that kingdom of darkness. You know, so he wants us to stay on that cross, you know. And look at the second guy. This is the guy that got saved. But the other answered, rebuked him, saying, "Do you not even fear God, seeing you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong." If we admit that we are sinners, that we deserve to die to our will, if we deserve to die to our will because of God's grace and God's mercy, you know, then we want to say, "I want to stay on that cross. I deserve to stay on that cross. I deserve to die to myself because I am going to get the life of God in me." You know, it's not that, you know, it's good news because, yeah, you're going to die, but at the same time, God moves in. This is where God moves in. You know, no other way. This is where God moves in. You know, God moves in when somebody's submitting, "I'm a sinner. I deserve the cross, and I'm going to stay on the cross." Then that we will die to our old nature. There's nothing but we're just stuck there, right? It's a place of surrender. And the good news is that God doesn't leave us there because of the resurrection power. This is where he moves in. This is where he moves in. Jesus did everything to lead us to the cross. You know, we sing about that. "Take me to the foot of the cross." You know, this is our path to our salvation. Take us to the foot of the cross. And we got to stay there. You know, but God doesn't want us to be immobile, useless, you know. So you do go off the cross under God's terms. And he raises you up into a new person, a new creation. First Peter 4, verse 1 to 6. "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourself also with the same mind. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin." We know the word remission, you know. That means sin is not going to start using you anymore. you know, because God's going to start using you. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. For we have spent enough of our past lifetime in doing the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lewdness, lust, drunkenness, rivalries, drinking parties, abominable idolatries. And in regard to these, they think it strange that you do not run with them in the same flood of dissipation, speaking evil of you. They will give an account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this reason the gospel was preached also to those who are dead, that they might be judged according to men in the flesh, but live according to God in the spirit. Luke 9, verse 23 to 26 says, Then he said to them all, If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and in of the holy angels. See, you've heard words from me, but it's not me who says it. It's God who says it. God says it, you know, that we have to die to ourselves. You know, this is, you know, remember God was in Jesus. God was speaking through Jesus. This is God speaking. He's saying this because he wants us back to himself. Remember, he's the king that destroyed all darkness. He's the one that reigns. He reigns over all the earth. You know, he wants his righteousness, his justice to prevail here in this earth. And he's given us a way to be free so that we can live in that freedom. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 to 18. And this is my conclusion. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. The veil is, you know, a lack of understanding. You know, you don't see the message. You don't see or understand what God is doing, how God is saving us, how God is delivering us, how God is setting us free. These words are not carnal. They destroy anything the enemy exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But when we all, with unveiled faces, beholding as in mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just by the Spirit of the Lord. The image, the transforming, comes every time we seek the Lord, we start understanding more and more. All of a sudden we start, Jesus is getting revealed to us, you know. We're seeing what he's doing. We're seeing how he's destroying the enemy for us. We see how he's leading us and directing us. We see how he helps us. We see how he picks us up and lifts us up again. We see his grace. You know, we keep on going because of our faith, because of the promise that Jesus gave us, that we can be reconciled back to the Father. Therefore, chapter 4, verse 111. Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart. We've all received mercy. We've all received mercy. And the mercy is, God's mercy is saying, I can destroy you, but I don't want to. I want to save you. I want to translate you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of my Son. But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in the craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of truth, commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. That's sad. That's sad. You know, if people don't understand the truth, they don't know the truth, they don't know that God can literally deliver them and set them free and change them, you know, that's sad. because they didn't understand. Whose mind the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. God wants to shine on everybody. He wants him. God wants to go into everybody's heart because he knows if he goes into the person's heart, darkness leaves. And that person is completely set free from bondage. What's set bound that person is no longer there. They're completely set free because darkness can, and light cannot dwell together. But even, okay, for we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For it is God who commanded light to shine out of darkness. He commands light to shine out of darkness. He's come to save us out of darkness. He come to save and replace that darkness with his own glory, with his own light, and stay there. You know, you think the enemy can come back in when he's there? Look what happened in Psalm 97. He burns up all his enemies. You think that enemy is going to want to come back into your heart when God's there? There's no way they can come back into that vessel. Because this vessel belongs to God. This is an earthen vessel that belongs to God now. For it is, okay. Hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We've heard it this morning. It's all, the glory of God is in. When you look to Jesus, you see the glory of God. You see the freedom that you can have. You can see the redemption that you can have. You can see the grace that you go after. It's there. It's for everyone. But we have this treasure vessel in earthen vessels that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Sounds like a rough road. But, you know, through it all, they keep going. Through it all, we keep on going. We have them as their example. You know, Paul said, use me as his father. You know, use me as an example. You know, he told us all the struggles and everything else, but he kept going. It's for the love of the church. It's for the love of the people. He knew that if the people would be reconciled back to God, these people will be free. Always caring about the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Every time we want to do the will of God, there's always the flesh that doesn't want to do it. You know, but because of the word, Pete talked about that filtering system. You know, the nice stuff looks, nice and app. You know, Peter, I hope I don't ruin your message. But you know, things of this earth look appealing, right? And the things of God don't look appealing to our flesh, you know. But our spirit wants to go after it. But with the spirit, with the word of God, we use the word of God as a filtering system, you know. And we follow after what the spirit wants. We are led by the spirit. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. We serve a mighty God. It's good news. You know? Because God did get us in checkmate. There was nothing we can do. We can either follow under his judgments or be saved by his mercy and grace. There's nothing we can do. You know, like, if I like to win. I play games a lot, you know? Like, and I hate it when I lose. But when I get into the positions where I lose, you know, what else can I do? Okay, you got my stuff. You got everything, right? God destroyed the enemy for us. He destroyed the lust. He destroyed the lust of the world. He destroyed everything. You know, everything that this world offers to us, I will follow you. Because we know. The more we know, the more we will persevere and more we will go after. And the more, you know, when you start having that freedom, and then, you know, the word always tells us to be thankful and all that. It's hard to get thankful to God when you don't know why you're being thankful, right? But when you start getting these understandings of what God did for us, I'm really thankful. You know? So this is how I want to close. If you see something and you know what God's done for you, come to the altar and just give Him thanks. That's all I'm asking. Just give Him thanks. And the praise and worship team can come up and we'll thank Him together.